Well, this morning we're going to continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you could take open your Bibles and come with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verse 25 through 34. And our text, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, when we look at it topically, the text is about anxiety and worry, and there's two major components to our text. One is about the perils that we expose our heart to when worry and anxiety grips us, and then the second component of our text is what are the remedies when worry and anxiety would grip our hearts. Well, last night and Saturday night service, and then at 9 o'clock, we opened it up just a little bit and asked the question, gee, what do you worry about? What cares do you carry on your heart? And at both of the services, it was just wonderful to be able to share together the things that are of concern to us. And so I'd like to do that at the 11. It takes just a little bit of courage for the first one or two people to get going, but I guarantee it, everybody in this room has something to share. So tell us your name, and then what are you concerned about? What anxiety is in your heart? Which? Ooh. Well, that's a concern. Oh. Yeah. My youngest one is going to be 30 coming up very soon. And then my other son, Jesse, is 31. He's in a hospital. He's at Worcester State Hospital. He had a breakdown.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I have an older one, too. He was in the Air Force, but now he's not. He's working for the FAA. He was supposed to be furloughed.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Mark's a good-looking guy, though. What's your name?
Laurie.
Someone else, yeah. My name is? Yeah. Makes you anxious about your safety and stuff, right? Someone else. It's great. Yeah.
My name is Rainey DeRosa. I have a loud voice.
Yes, you do, Rainey.
And I get in trouble because of it. Everywhere I go, people go, oh! And the devil has discouraged me because of that. I was thinking of not coming to church anymore. Because people tell me, lower your voice.
That would be a good thing to do right about now, yes.
Yeah. it's a tough thing to deal with because I was born that way. My whole family talked loud. Mm. And it's a very, very tough thing. And I ask you all to pray for me for that because I agree with you. I have to learn to lower my voice and not offend people.
Amen. Me too.
I'd love to hear you. I'm out of here.
This is Rosa from Billerica, and so what's a problem for some is a blessing to others. I too get told to lower it down back there. Marianne works for the state, right? And you're in the placement type? Yeah. Someone else. What's on you? What's the care and concern?
My husband is working in a very he lost his job
okay.
a long time ago when all this happened, like in 2009. And And right now I'm doing okay, but right. there's always that in the back of my mind, finances.
Right.
And I know I trust the Lord, I really do, but this, it's like you take your eyes off him and it's in your face. You know, will I be able to continue? Will I be able
right.
to continue? And that is what bothers me.
Right.
Like Satan uses on me.
Terry's a nurse. She works at Leahy Clinic, and if anybody knows a nurse, it's a very physical job, isn't it? Someone else? Yeah.
My name's Teresa, and I worry about everything, and I know we're committed not to, and I know it doesn't do any good, and I know that there's, but one of the things is that I deal with some mental illness issues, and I'm always worried that I'm going to lose my job, that I'm not going to be acceptable to people.
The reason for me opening up to talk about this morning is that there's not a person here that doesn't have something that you're concerned about, something that doesn't cause anxiety from time to time. And sometimes we come into church life, and we think, oh gosh, we're the only one. We're the only one that's concerned about losing a job. We're the only one that's concerned about our adult children. We're the only one that's concerned about the world we live in. And the reality is that all of us, from time to time, will be gripped with anxiety and worry. And the little Greek word here for it is marinano. It almost sounds Italian, doesn't it? But marinaro means this: to be troubled, are distracted by cares, to be drawn in multiple directions. And that's really what happens when our hearts are gripped with the cares of just life or anxiety, is that we lose our focus, and sometimes we can lose our way. And what our text is going to get at is about if we're in the midst of that, how do we restore our focus? How do we get back to a place that we can find our way in this life? There's a few scriptures that we could look at before we get to our text. The first one is Proverbs 12:25. It's a great one. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And that's why we're here this morning. And I hope that's why you're here. We're here to give each other a good word. A word of encouragement, a word from God, a portion of scripture from God's word. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 14:3, he describes the prophetic words as in three ways. He describes them as edification, exhortation, and comfort. And that's our role, that when we come together as family, we come together as children of the Lord, that we can speak those words of edification, exhortation, and comfort into our heart. They are healing towards us. When we look at 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And to understand that John chapter 14, see that your heart's not troubled, God calls us to trust in him, that He's gone ahead to prepare a place for us so that we wouldn't be full of the anxiety and difficulty or cares, but that we would trust him and know him. And 1 Peter 5:7 is one of these simple verses that we can hide in our heart, and then anytime we need to access it, we can access it. It's 1 Peter 5:7. Would you want to read it with me? Give it a try. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. All right. You say, Conway, I get a sense you're going to be a little crazy. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But would you close your eyes for a moment? I mean, no peeking at the text. And just, I'll prompt you, but close your eyes. Don't look at the text. Say, 1 Peter 5, 7. See, that's your cue to say the same thing. Ready? Close your eyes. No peeking. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. One more time. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You do that 10 more times before you go to bed tonight, and that thing will be in your heart forever. And then when you get to that place where the cares and anxieties come, you just say, Lord, I'm casting all my anxieties on you because you care for me. That's what I'm going to do. Comes into your heart, I ain't holding on to it. Casting it on you because you care for me. When we come to our text, come there to Matthew chapter 6, what you're going to see is really two points of emphasis in our text. One is the perils that come when anxiety and the cares kind of grip us, and the other is the remedy. We'll read it through, then we'll kind of pull out each aspect. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And the answer to that is yes, we are. Verse 27. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so when we look at the perils, and if we understand the word choice of maranao, it means to really to distract us and to shift our focus, verse 25, away from God onto any other thing, whether it's ourself, whether it's things, whether it's food, whether it's clothing. What anxiety and care does is it takes us away from the source of our comfort, takes us away from the source of our peace. It causes us to doubt the promises of God, where we say, well, you know, God isn't that concerned about the things that I need for life. Well, that's just the point that Jesus is trying to make, is that he's our Heavenly Father, and we can trust him for what we need. Take note of this very key point, that the whole context here is the Lord's Prayer. The whole context here is, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. One, that we have a Father. Text reaffirms that he cares for us, wants to know what we need, even though he knows what we need. He's our Father who art in heaven. He's all-powerful, he's sovereign. He is both eminent with an eye close to us, but he's also transcendent. He's all-powerful. And so what the Lord wants us to know is that he cares for us, he loves us, and he's powerful enough to deliver the goods to us. So trust him. Trust his promises. This little phrase here in verses 31 through 33, that running after the Gentiles, is really, I interpret the text this way, it's got to do with where we place our affections. If we place our affections on the things that are outside of the, say, favor of God, the covenant of the Lord, place our things outside the kingdom, then we're running after the things of unbelievers. And God says, don't put your affections there. Put your affections on the Lord and what he wants to do today. That's the meaning of verse 34. If you come take a look at it, verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And see, here's the great truth, is that God has grace for you right now. And if we've come to worship thinking about, gosh, I got this bill on my desk, you know, it's due on Monday, I don't have enough to pay for it, oh, what am I going to do? Your mind is so distracted that God's message to you today is to receive his grace when? Now. And that's what worry and anxiety does. It causes us to live not in the moment, but in some other time. And I deal with that personally all the time. You know, Jan and I went hiking last Tuesday into Wednesday. Actually did this little backpacking trip, went up to Lonesome Lake up in the Franconia Notch. And, you know, at one point I failed to live in the moment. The beauty of it, I got my wife with me and I'm looking at Mount Lafayette and my phone rings and I pick it up. I should have never done it. And it brought me out of the moment into being concerned about something in the life of the church. And I think that's where I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to grow as a person to live in the moment and to receive God's grace for me right now and let tomorrow take care of itself. And I think that's the great challenge in life. I'm concerned about my job. I'm concerned about, you know, getting the passing grade. I'm concerned about the review that's coming up. I'm concerned about fill in the blank. And God says, I want to meet you today, and I want to encourage you. When we look at the remedies, it's the remedies are the things that speak to our heart that return our focus. When we look at verse 25, they see this connective word here, therefore. When you see therefore in the scriptures, it really means this. All that's preceded comes into the statement that's going to be made. And the therefore here is pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. The therefore in this is give us this day our daily bread. The therefore there is the aspect of that prayerfulness that God would call us to. It's the scriptures themselves. There's one particular scripture that has been an anchor in my life since the time I came to know Christ. It's found in Psalm 27, and it's in verse 13. David writes this, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the King James, it says this, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And see, I need that promise in my life that today I need his goodness. Today I need to see his grace in my life. And I need that because today is full of enough, because tomorrow is only going to have more. But if I don't take advantage of today's grace, here's what happens. It just gets piled up higher and higher and higher. And then it looks, what was just one thing is now a dozen things. Look at the rest of Psalm 27. It speaks to my heart. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. And see, the words of the Lord speak to the basic need of our heart to trust God and trust in his promises, to receive his grace for today. We see these aspects of obedience in prayer they're really coupled together. We find a text that speaks directly to that in Philippians chapter 4. Come there with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's an imperative command. It's a command that all New Englanders, by the way, I'm not into tattoos, but it's probably a command every New Englander should have close to his heart. To inform your heart of what God has done inside you, please inform your face. Rejoice. Find joy in life. Find joy in the things of God. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. And see how the Philippians text is the same as the Matthew 6 text. The Philippians text is tied to prayer as the remedy. The Matthew 6 text is tied to what? Prayer as the remedy. Look at Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so the remedy is to go to God and say, Lord, this is what's in my heart. This is what I'm dealing with. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The second aspect of this obedience in prayer is that it shapes our inner voice. It shapes our mind. And the dynamic that's in play in our country right now is that there's a lot of media that we let into our hearts and mind that shape our mind, that make us anxious. I'll pick on both the right and the left so everybody will leave upset at me this morning. But if you listen to Fox, the world is ending. The world is ending. The world is ending. Well, historical perspective helps me to know that this ain't as bad as the Nixon era. And then you turn over to CNN, right? And all they're talking about is what Fox is saying isn't true. Yikes. And so what we let in has a direct correlation to our anxiety level. What we let in encumbers us. So that's a word. Is that a word, Bill? I get the editor says yes. What we let in affects our level of anxiety. Look at the text. Come back with Philippians 4 with me. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, do what with those things? Think about these things. This is the operative of 2 Corinthians 10:5. This, the Philippians text 4, shows us how to take every thought captive. It fleshes it out. It makes it plain to us. Watch your input. Watch your media, watch your consumption of sources that come into your life that affect your disposition. My suggestion is to unplug the media and go to Fuel next Saturday night. Yeah. Rob said he wasn't going to give an ad. I didn't say that at all. To hold fast to the promises of God, Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because everyone who comes to God must believe that he, what? Exists. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently and earnestly seek after him. He rewards us. What you need in your life, you can fill in the blank. I'm concerned about a job. I'm concerned about my adult children, I'm concerned about my young children, I'm concerned about my grandchildren, I'm concerned that I don't have children, I'm concerned that I have too many children. Whatever your need is, then go to God. Here we go again, ready? 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your very good, huh? That's the remedy for our soul. That keeps our soul centered on who the Lord is. One last thing when we look at our text. Come back with me to Matthew chapter 6. But seek ye first, King James always kind of sneaks in there, doesn't it? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And we come to know from the context there that wherever our heart is, there's our treasure. There's a great text that helps us to sort this out in Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Emphasis added. Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious. It's that word, maranano. You are anxious, you're distracted, you're troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. She found the treasure. She found the place to rest her affections on. It's a person. His name is Jesus. And see, the message of Matthew chapter 6 is to pray to the Lord. Let your affections, let the desires of your heart be directed towards him. Because our Heavenly Father knows what we need, but he still bids us to come and to ask him so that he can provide. When life is a whirlwind, when the cares and anxieties come, and they will come, it's unavoidable. We live in a fallen world, fractured world, many times a disappointing world, difficult. And the perils of anxiety and the care will shift our focus off the very thing that can meet those needs. Let Christ be the center. Let him be your treasure. One last time. First Peter, cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Would you stand in the whole context of this? Would you pray to the Lord? Let him be the center of your life and set your affections on the one that loves and cares for you. Would you pray like this? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we also. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Did I tell you guys this morning I like you? It's a mutual love feast here.